Wisconsin milk will be tested for highly contagious avian flu starting as soon as this week. It's Wednesday, May 21st, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, Adams County is asking a court to remove an elected treasurer and replace her with the person she defeated in the election. And a liberal challenger has entered the race for next year's Wisconsin Supreme Court election. Stay with us.
Be fully awake to your day with Wisconsin Today.
Hi, I'm Rob Ferret.
I'm Kate Archer Kent.
Wisconsin Today is a great chance to bring people around the state together and realize we kind of all share the same neighborhood, even though we don't see each other.
And also attending to the news of the day in our state through that lens and understanding the world around us. That's really what I love about Wisconsin Today.
Wisconsin Today, weekday mornings at 9 on WPR News.
Wisconsin dairy farmers will have their milk tested monthly for the avian flu virus starting this week. As Hope Kerwin reports, the mandatory sampling program has taken months to develop.
The state's testing program will use samples regularly taken at farms to verify milk quality. A small amount will be sent to a state lab once a month to be tested for avian flu. Wisconsin is one of the last states to comply with a federal requirement to test milk for the highly contagious virus. Other states have rolled out sampling at processing plants. But Adam Brock from the State Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection says a farm-level approach is a better fit for Wisconsin.
When you don't do this close to the source, potential source, it delays the process of addressing the issues.
The state has not had any confirmed cases of avian flu in dairy cows. If a farm tests positive, their cows will be quarantined, but the producer can still sell milk because pasteurization has been proven to kill the virus. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
More than 200 people have signed an open letter to the Ashland School Board expressing concern over a complaint that was filed against one of its members. Residents say Ashland School Board member Kelly Madej has been denied due process. They say she has not had a chance to review and respond to allegations made against her. Madej told WPR the district denied her request for a copy of the complaint. Ashland School Superintendent Rob Prater questions whether anyone's due process rights have been violated.
I think due process comes during the investigative and deliberative process, and I don't think the board is there yet.
Prater says he cannot discuss the nature of the allegations and also that legal counsel has advised the district not to release the complaint due to a pending investigation. Madej says she was censured last year over a separate complaint that she says she was not allowed to review. A rural county in central Wisconsin is asking a court to remove a county treasurer who was elected less than a year ago. As Joe Schultz reports, their lawsuit is also asking that she be replaced with the person she defeated in the election.
Adams County filed suit last week. They want the court to declare that Treasurer Kara Dolezal vacated her position and her former opponent is entitled to hold that office. The suit says Dolezal accepted a legally incompatible position when she was reelected treasurer for the town of Lincoln in April. State Representative Scott Krug represents a portion of Adams County in the legislature. He says he's working with colleagues to clarify state law.
We are specifically going to say that there is no contradiction or incompatibility between the role of county treasurer and town treasurer when both are elected by the people in their community.
But the suit says the county treasurer has an oversight role in collecting taxes. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
U.S. Representative Derek Van Orden wants to end spring elections in Wisconsin. Anna Marie Yanni has more.
At the Republican State Convention, Van Orden called on the legislature to move spring nonpartisan races to the fall ballot.
I think Wisconsin is a red state where we have people that share our conservative values. They just don't vote.
His suggestion came after a series of conservative losses in spring elections. That included in April when liberal Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate Susan Crawford handily beat conservative Brad Schimmel. Patrick Garassi was a senior advisor on Crawford's campaign.
A spring election was set up to basically remove those offices from the normal partisan cycle.
In 2009, some Democratic lawmakers attempted to eliminate spring elections following a race where conservative Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Mike Gabelman flipped the court. Anna Marie Yanni, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A liberal challenger has entered the race for next year's Wisconsin Supreme Court election. Former Democratic state lawmaker and current state appeals judge Chris Taylor announced her run yesterday. She's hoping to defeat conservative Justice Rebecca Bradley. The last Wisconsin Supreme Court election shattered national spending records with more than $100 million spent. Taylor says she opposed changes to finance laws that allowed unlimited transfers to campaigns.
I don't like seeing all of this money come into our state for one race, but I will be committed to having the resources, to raising the resources to win this race.
Taylor calls Bradley a right-wing partisan. Bradley has called the court's current liberal majority, quote, extremely radical. The race will not tip the court's balance of power, but it could potentially grow the liberals' current majority. Coming up, we've got a story from Wisconsin Life about the annual Midwest Crane Count. Stay with us.
Bookend your day with Morning Edition and All Things Considered.
In a new study, researchers used machine learning to discover that sperm whale communication is much more complex than previously thought.
NPR's Philip Reeves recently went to the former Soviet Republic of Estonia.
TikTok is fighting for its life here in the U.S.
The makers of the hit video app are suing the U.S. government in
response. But on the other hand, you are talking about universal themes like change. I mean, we are all continuing.
Weekdays on WPR News.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about bird watching and friendship.
One day each spring, volunteers around Wisconsin get up at dawn to participate in the annual Midwest Crane Count. It's a long-running citizen science project that helps collect data about sandhill and whooping cranes. As WPR's Rochelle Wilson tells us, it's also a chance for some people to connect with friends.
It's 4 a.m. on a Saturday morning, an hour for early birds. Thousands of volunteers have set their alarms and are heading out to their local wetlands and birding hotspots to look and listen for cranes.
Are you normally up this early?
No.
That's Mark Hendrickson and Mark Hansen, longtime crane count veterans. Hendrickson first volunteered for the count in 1979, just 3 years after the very first sandhill crane count in Columbia County.
When I was heading out in 1979, three cranes got up right next to me from the marshland and did their slow motion flapping of their wings and took off. And I go, wow, I have to do this again.
Eventually, Hansen joined him. You might say these guys are birds of a feather. They often get together to go hiking, hunting, or fishing. They tell me that they don't consider themselves birders, but the crane count is a beloved annual tradition for the Marks. And they've been coming back to the same spot each year, the Goose Lake Wildlife Area near Deerfield.
There are some sites in Wisconsin where you might see lots and lots of cranes. We're not one of them.
Every year, Hansen and Hendrickson hike about 45 minutes to their trusty lookout spot overlooking marshland. I say lookout, but really it's more about listening. One truism of birding is that you often hear a bird before you see it. We get there just before 5:30, when the count officially starts. For the first half hour, we hear all kinds of birds, geese, cardinals, and a woodcock. But no cranes, not yet.
They're sleeping late today.
Mm-hmm. Hendrickson keeps a notebook of their observations that goes back decades. He writes down every time they see or hear cranes. Later in the day, he sends the numbers to the International Crane Foundation.
Yeah, I know. You know, I'm not chronological here. Like in 03, we saw quite a few flying.
Around 6 a.m., we hear them. The first crane calls of the day.
There we are.
Bingo.
Yep, there we are. One had to wake the rest of them up.
Yeah.
It's not an exact science, but the data provides a helpful snapshot for conservation biologists to understand how many cranes are in Wisconsin and where their breeding grounds are. After hearing that first call, we move deeper into a more wooded area by the marsh's edge. A little while later, a second round of crane calls. Eventually, a third. Our 2 hours are up. We didn't see any cranes, but we heard 8 pairs. Walking back to the car, I ask the Marks what they think about the proposed sandhill crane hunt in Wisconsin. Hendrickson doesn't hunt. Hansen says he hunts pheasants, but wouldn't hunt cranes.
Cranes are kind of spiritual in a way, I think. You know, they're not meant for eating. They're a symbol of evolution in a way. You know, they're really, really old. They've been around for millions of years.
For Hendrickson and Hansen, the crane count helps them stay connected with each other and to the land.
You get a sense of ownership of the land. I mean, this is state land, this is DNR land, but for these 2 hours on a Saturday morning, it's our land.
It's our land. That was a deep concept.
Sure. WPR's Rochelle Wilson brought us that story on the annual Midwest Crane Count. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook and Instagram. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And of course, a quick check of your forecast before letting you go for this Wednesday. Some spotty showers across the state continuing this morning after all that rain yesterday. That should be ending throughout the day. Still cloudy and a little windy today with highs in the 50s. Overnight cloudy in northern Wisconsin, but dry. Could see a little bit of drizzle in the south tonight with lows in the 30s and 40s. And that'll do it for this Wednesday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Bridget Bowden and John Davis. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.